Are you ready to become a better version of yourself, to become a leader in your personal and professional life? Then welcome to the CJ Evolution Podcast, where we put a twist on traditional criminal justice professions and provide you with the tools you need to set yourself up for success in your career and for the future. Now, welcome your host, the CJ Evolutionist himself, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Welcome back, everybody. Patrick here. Such a pleasure to be here. I love coming on, having great guests on the show like Adam Davis, who we're going to talk about in just a moment. But thank you for tuning in. That's why we are the top-ranked CJ Evolution podcast, a podcast for the criminal justice professional. But we have other listeners, too. And the goal, no matter what you're doing, is to make you better personally and professionally. If you love the show, give us that 5-star rating on Apple Podcast and review. We sure would appreciate it. And subscribe to the show and keep sharing it with your family and friends. We sure would appreciate it. Big shout out to all the brave men and women working in the criminal justice field, whatever you were doing, wherever you were at. Thank you for doing it. Very tough environment, folks. Very tough environment, but we're going to come out of this stronger and more resilient. Remember, you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Keep up the good work.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything.
800-210-7907. 800-210-7907. 800-210-7907. That's 800-210-7907.
This is a national healthcare alert from the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one has diabetes, listen closely. Now, regardless of your age, if you have insurance, you may qualify to receive diabetic testing supplies with little to no out-of-pocket cost. Get free delivery, free information, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers for free. Call the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline now for details. Toll free at this number. But wait, there's more. If you call right now, you could get a meter upgrade. In addition, we'll give you a free pair of diabetic socks as our special gift to you. Regardless of your age, if you suffer with diabetes and have insurance, you may qualify to get free delivery of your supplies.
800-443-1549. 800-443-1549. 800-443-1549. That's 800-443-1549.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-471-0253. 800-471-0253. That's 800-471-0253.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Folks, I want to tell you about my good friends at Extra Duty Solutions. Now, Extra Duty Solutions help law enforcement agencies add efficiency and effectiveness to their extra duty programs while allowing them to focus on what really matters, and that's the safety of their citizens. They work with law enforcement agencies to administer their extra duty programs in areas such as client interaction, scheduling, invoicing, collections, officer payments, and much more. Their services are provided at no cost to the department and minimal cost to the clients. Their programs can be customized to meet the goals and unique needs of any agency. Folks, let Extra Duty Solutions help with your extra duty program in your agency. Head over to extradutysolutions.com. That's extradutysolutions.com. Tell them Patrick from CJ Evolution sent you. Such an honor to have my next guest on the show. His name is Adam Davis. Now, Adam is an author, motivational speaker, and former law enforcement officer. His story is one that reveals pain many hide and addresses the topics many avoid. Adam shares his experiences of sexual assault, substance abuse, mental illness, and law enforcement. Adam is known for his work on Behind the Badge, 365 daily devotions for law enforcement, Bulletproof Marriage, a 90-day devotional with Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, and On Spiritual Combat, 30 missions for victorious warfare, again with Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. Adam's work has been featured in Entrepreneurial Magazine, Fox News, The Huffington Post, Police One.com, and Law Enforcement Today. A very powerful episode with the one and only Adam Davis, next on the CJ Evolution Podcast. Hello, everybody. Very excited, super excited to have my next guest on the show. He's Adam Davis. He's an author, motivational speaker, former law enforcement officer. He is all around the country. Well, maybe not so much now, but his story is one that reveals pain many hide and addresses the topics many avoid. Brother, thank you for spending the time coming on the show. Welcome.
Oh, hey, thank you so much for having me on. And hey, sorry for the delay, man. I know we were supposed to do this 6 months ago, but you know, what can we say? Global pandemics and changing lifestyle. What can we say? But no, seriously, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here, brother. I know you're very, very busy. And that's the reason. I mean, every time I reach out to people and I'm like, they were going to be an excellent guest. And sometimes there's kind of a lag. It's because you're busy, dude. I mean, I know it. I don't take it personally, but thank you for being here today. Now I'm going to ask you a question that I always ask, you know, former Leos, military personnel that come on the show. Mm-hmm. What made you get into law enforcement? What was the catalyst behind it, brother? It's always amazes me because a lot of people have some people have the same story, but a lot have different stories.
Yeah. Well, in a nutshell, like every other cop that you could probably ask, is because I wanted to help people. But really, my dad has owned a business in my hometown for nearly four decades now. And a lot of his friends were law enforcement officers. And growing up, seeing those men, when my dad needed somebody, they were there. They were good friends, like straight up rare kind of friends. And I remember seeing their families and how they interacted with their wives and their kids. And I saw that and I said, man, I want to be like that. And then at the time, I remember, you know, my kids were really young and they weren't quite really into school age yet, but they were getting there. And I said, you know, I want my kids when somebody says, what's your daddy do for a living? What kind of work does your daddy do? I want them to put their chest out with pride and say, my daddy's a cop. My daddy's a police officer with pride. You know, and I think there was a time in our country when it was safe to say that. Yes, I got into law enforcement because I wanted to help people. Yes, I love to apprehend criminals. I love it. I love every part of policing, but I really wanted to be like those men of integrity, men of honor, men who were the pillars of our society and our community, those men who you could depend on any time of day or night, didn't matter what's going on, they were there. And that's why I started. That's why I got in. And, you know, it's a different world now.
Well, maybe. And again, thank you for your service, brother. And it made me think of, and you might have seen this, it was all over the news or some news outlets, where these two high school football players were recently expelled from school because one of them was the son of a fireman, and he was carrying the thin red line flag. And the other one, I think, was the son of a police officer carrying the thin blue line. Mm-hmm. And these young kids, you know, went out there, very brave thing to do. And I just cannot believe we live in a world right now where they're suspending students for honoring not only the profession, but their parents.
No, it is.
Stupid ass school, you know, suspends them. So anyway, I agree with you.
That was in Ohio, wasn't it?
I think it was. I didn't know for sure, but I think it
was. Yeah, I think it was. And they come back and reverse their decision a few days later. But just the fact that they would,
that's the first reaction. The fact that the only reason why they rescinded it, you know, brother, is because somebody complained enough.
Yeah,
and they were probably threatening to get sued.
Yeah,
it wasn't because they wanted to, and they grew a conscience. It was because it's because somebody said, "We're going to sue your ass off." Probably
that's right.
And they "We're probably going to lose. Let's go ahead and let the boys back."
Listen, I had a book earlier this year that I pitched, and it went before every major publisher in the country. And they said no, because it was strictly for cops. Now, it told a story in a certain way that would have been beneficial to both current, former, and future cops, but also those who hate cops. Not only their supporters, but those who hate them. What it would have done was created room for conversations that would, in some places, maybe spark a path for healing and unity. But they said, because it's pro-law enforcement, we don't want that on our plate. Yeah. And that, for me, man, look, I don't want to work with you. I'll start my own publishing house. Yeah. I'll start my own publishing company. I am not going to settle or compromise my message that is pro-law enforcement, pro-faith, pro-2A, pro-America. That's who I am. And if you don't like it, then move on, you know. But for businesses to be cowards, and not want to take a stance because they're afraid of losing the buck, man, this is the core of who we are as Americans. Mm-hmm. You stand up for what you believe in. The problem is most of these people who are making decisions have no spine, mm-hmm. and they don't know what they believe. And hell, how can you stand for what you believe when you don't even know what you believe?
Yeah.
So the problem is we got a bunch of spineless people out there that don't want to stand up for what makes this country great. What makes this country great is standing up for what you believe in. Now, there's certain people that'll stand up for what they believe in, even when it's wrong. But nobody wants to stand up for cops. Who's going to stand up for cops? If you call yourself a true blue American, if you love the freedom and liberty in this country, if you love peace and law and order, then by God, it's time to let your voice be heard. Yeah. Because if not, when they strip it from us, don't complain. Don't say nothing. You can be the generation who does something to preserve our way of life, or you can be the last generation to enjoy freedom.
Yeah. Well said. Amen. And I believe that, and you probably believe this too, even though I don't want to assume, I really do believe that the majority of people out there in the country support our brave men and women
yeah.
in uniform.
Yep,
I just wish, and I say yep. it all the time on my show, I wish, and I'll say it again, I wish they were yep. more vocal. But yeah, the people out there that are this anti-police movement that's going around, you know, brother, I mean, it starts a lot at the top. And if you tell people, the more you tell people, it's just psychology. The more they hear this anti-police crap, the more they're going to start believing it.
Oh, yeah.
Because unfortunately, yeah. a lot of people believe everything that they hear. Mm-hmm. And it cracks me up, it reminds me, and you've probably seen it too. Now, Minneapolis is crying, where are the cops?
Oh,
it's amazing. Yes. It's the hypocrisy. You can cut through it with a knife. I mean, but first of all, these people are the ones that, you know, want to get rid of the cops, but now they're complaining because there's not enough cops. It's lunacy.
It is what happens when people get into leadership positions who have not developed their character. Yeah. You don't know what you stand for. You don't know what you believe in. You know what? I love seeing, you know, on social media when somebody does a cute little picture and hashtag back the blue, hashtag support cops or whatever their hashtag is. But you know what hashtags do? You know what social media posts do? They don't do jack shit. They don't do nothing. You know what does something is when you show up and you do something. Actually, let me tell you what I started about 5 weeks ago doing. My book, Behind the Badge. It's a 365-day devotion for cops, strictly for law enforcement, not for anybody else. It's for cops. And it's from the heart of a former cop. And I wrote it to reach every single law enforcement in America. And so about a month ago, I sat around and I said, man, that, you know, buying them one at a time is awesome, but I need people that will actually do something. So I started calling churches and businesses, talking to some different leaders and nonprofits and churches. I'd say, hey, and especially churches. I'd say, how's your prison ministry going? They'd say, my prison ministry is going great. We've got guys going into the prisons, into our local county jails. It's going great. We're reaching people. I'm like, man, that's awesome. They need it. God knows they need it. They're incarcerated. They need it. Somebody needs faith, hope. They need that. They need that encouragement. I said, but how's your first responder ministry going? How's reaching your first responders, especially cops? How's that going for you? Well, we don't have anything like that. They just, you know, we got a good security team. They serve on a security team. I'm like, but you don't have anything for them. Why? Because they don't matter to you? I mean, I remember when you put up a Black Lives Matter image on social media a few months back. When was the last time you did something in the month of May to honor cops, or any month for that matter? Well, we support cops. No, I hear what you're saying, but when was the last time you did something? Mm-hmm. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a way to do that. My book, Behind the Badge, has reached close to 50,000 officers in America. There's about 800,000 sworn officers in America. Let's focus on your community. My book retails for $17.99. I'll discount it $10 a piece when you buy it by the case. Now you got a tool you can reach your cops with. Proven effective. Got almost 400 five-star reviews and ratings on Amazon. It's proven. go get it. Tell me you want it. I'll send it to you. I'll send you the case. Done deal. And we've shipped out about 50 cases of that in the past 5 weeks. 50 cases. It's selling about 1,000 copies a week right now between Amazon and the case sale. So I'm removing the excuse. Now you say you want to do something. Now let's do something.
What's the feedback then, brother? It's got to be overwhelmingly positive.
It is incredible. It's incredible because I'll tell you this, and you know this. For me or you or most any other cop, we're not going to go into the store and buy behind the badge. Or we're not going to buy any devotion, for that matter. You know, your wife or friends, or girlfriend, or, you know, spouse, whatever your case is, somebody gives you one, you may start reading it and go through it. Man, this is good. But these guys are, these organizations are getting them, take them to their briefing rooms, dropping them off, 20, 30, whatever. They're gone. And I'm getting emails, messages, text messages around the clock.
That is amazing.
From officers from L.A., from Portland, Seattle, all over New York City, everywhere in between, Miami. I mean, you name it. They're all over the country. And the feedback is, where has this been? Where has this been? I have to have this every day before I start my shift. And it just gives me a moment to reflect, to get focused, to prepare my heart, my soul, my mind for what I'm going to do today. And, you know, I hear people, and I get it. We as a city or as a county, as a government entity, we can't buy anything that's, you know, this guy mentions of faith and scripture, whatever, man. Listen, you painted Black Lives Matter on your street.
Yes.
Okay. Whatever. Okay.
If it's going to help the troops, if it's going to help them
do something
during these difficult times, unprecedented, you know, then why not buy them the book? I mean, I remember getting, and I know you're good friends with Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman.
Yeah.
And I remember getting his book. And they bought it for, you know, our police department said, here, this is what we're going to give to you guys.
Yeah.
And so
it's doing really well.
Kevin Gilmartin, same really thing.
Well. It's doing really well. And it's really targeted for the wellness of officers. You know, it's there's guys that have never been into a church. They've never stepped foot into a church. They read it every single day. And it's practical. It's encouraging. It's motivational. And it goes right along with Bulletproof Marriage. And then, which I wrote with Colonel Grossman and or Lieutenant Colonel Grossman, and then On Spiritual Combat, which is based on his book On Combat. But those books are doing really well. So we're just having to pivot. These are challenging times, are different, but we'll overcome it. You know, and a lot of people talk about resiliency, and the way I see resiliency is if you're still moving, if you're still breathing, no, I don't care how slow you're moving, I don't care how small your steps, if you're still moving, you're resilient. If you're still living, you're still resilient. If you're still married, resilient marriage. What can we do to take the next step toward becoming great? What can we do to take the next step to being somebody who can leave a positive mark in our world? Leave it a little bit better than the way you found it. That's all you got to do. One small change. You can change everything. And so that's what I'm trying to do is create those moments and conversations and get people to take action, whether they buy my book or not. Just do something
to
support law enforcement. Yeah.
Especially now. I mean, the troops need it. Brave men and women out there busting their ass every day in this environment. Yep. I don't think I've ever seen it like this. I did it for a long time. I know you did, Adam. I don't think I've ever seen
Never
it this
like
bad.
This.
I mean, I've talked to other people and they say, well, you know, 60s were bad. Okay, well, you know, we're in a different era, obviously. I've never seen it this
Social
bad.
Social media amplifies the problem exponentially.
Now, what do you think? I mean, let me ask you this. I mean, you talk to tons of Leos all over the place. Why are officers so reluctant, you know, both men and women, to come forth and say, look, I got a problem, man. I'm struggling. I need some help. Can you help me? I mean, but for the listener, from your perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll put it to you like this. If your bills every month are $2,000, $3,000 a month, house payment, rent, whatever, cars, bills, medical bills, insurance, loans, credit cards, you're making, you know, $100 more than what you bring in. I mean, what you got to pay out. There's zero margin for error. If you come up and you say, I got a problem, the chances of you being ostracized, losing pay because they're going to put you on light duty or make you go on some type of leave, that's a very real possibility. I mean, if you come out, and I talked to a guy earlier, former, served in the Marine Corps, went to a police department, applied. He was diagnosed with 100% disability because of PTSD. Guess what the police department said?
No.
Can't work for us. How many cops out there? I mean, dude, I've heard stories of officers. I've talked to officers who are taking a lot of different medications every day just to keep going. And what happens to those problems? What happens to their situation where they're at when you add, okay, now you don't have enough money to pay your bills. It's cut in half or it's cut by a third. Now, every department ain't going to do that. Every agency ain't going to do that. But it does happen. It has happened. And so if you come out and you say that, okay, or what if that doesn't happen? What if you just ostracize and you're labeled and say, man, Adam, he's crazy as hell. You know, don't, hey, you can't trust him on a call, man. Don't invite him to a squad party. Don't invite him to dinner, da-da-da-da-da, whatever. We've got this whole thing to where if I can't see your injury, then you're not hurt. Suck it up, move on. We've got this whole perception that if I can't see your wound, then it doesn't exist or it doesn't mean anything. And or that you're less of an officer, you're less of a man or less of a woman, less of a warrior, less of a sheepdog. And that's not the case. Here's the thing. We all carry burdens. We all carry baggages, but we're human beings and we were never created to carry all these burdens in our own strength and power. And we could have all the programs, all the information. Man, we've got more access today to information and training and courses and material than ever in the history of mankind. There's everything under the sun available at our fingertips. But what has it changed? Mm-hmm. It's changed nothing. We have to restore the power. We have to flip the switch. And that's my mission. My mission is to flip the switch. What's the switch? Well, obviously, it's not, you know, it's not better communities, better police departments, better training, blah, 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 blah. That sounds good. It makes good headlines and makes media companies millions of dollars, but it's trash. The switch that you have to flip is on inside of you. Mm-hmm. You have to realize why you do what you do and who you do that for. And everything else is worthless. I didn't leave law enforcement because I was mad. I didn't leave law enforcement because I was in trouble. I left law enforcement because I had a vision. I had a dream. I had a call. I miss law enforcement greatly, dearly, every day. I love the work. But I knew that there was a lot of different challenges that I would have to overcome. On top of the fact, there's only 24 hours of the day to be able to reach officers that were in the car like I was that day when I wanted to take my life, when I wanted to end my life. Now, why didn't I go talk to somebody? Well, because the only source of income for the family. What happens if dad comes home and now he can't work? Okay, well, he's going to get half of a check a month or a third or two thirds, whatever. It's still not enough because you're working 60 hours a week just to make ends meet. It's not enough. And now compounding all those problems, the nightmares, the sweats, the panic attacks, you can't breathe. You feel like you're being choked out. You can't hardly swallow anymore. Nothing tastes good. You have no desire for anything. And you're just drinking to drink. And hopefully it'll make it feel better. And at the end of the day, you're pushing everybody away that you love and care about. They care about you. And now your job's on the line because you sought help. And we have to be willing to create a shift in the way we see these things, our perception, the way we address them, and how we move forward. You understand that if you deal with people that want to take your life and want to murder you, if you deal with violence, death, and destruction, no human being was created or built to deal with that.
Yeah.
And so you got to have a program. You have a process for which you deal with it. And so for me, that was faith. That was faith. And I'll just be straight up and honest with you. I tried everything else and it didn't work. but it was in a higher purpose. It was a higher, it was, how can we keep other people from going down the pit? How can we get them all out of that hole? How can we flip the switch? You got to live with the power. You got to live with a passion. It can't just be, man, piss on this. I can't deal with this anymore. You can't just quit. You're still breathing. You're still living. You can still keep going. But you got to find a way to offload some of that stuff. And a lot of it comes in how you handle your relationships, how you handle your perspective, your attitude. And a lot of the switch that you flip is your purpose, understanding purpose, defining your purpose, determine your purpose, see how you're going to move forward. I wanted to retire as a cop. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to climb the ranks. I wanted to retire as a law enforcement officer. That's what I wanted to do. But maybe your purpose is to do something else. Maybe your purpose is to retire as a cop. Maybe after that, it's to mentor somebody. Maybe it's to be a mentor to officers. Maybe it's to be a mentor to youth in your area. Maybe it's to share your story. I don't know what it is. What's your purpose? But let me tell you something. Don't devalue the power and the value of the current situation that you're in. Because if you are at home and all you have to do is go and do your job and come home, the greatest mission you've ever been given is right there within the four walls of your home. The single greatest mission, the single greatest purpose, the single greatest opportunity you've ever been given. And that's why a lot of the things we see today are happening. Is because men and women place more value on their careers and the success in the career field and outside the home than they did on inside of the home. And it's time that if you're married, you better fight for it, because nobody else is going to do it for you. If you want a good marriage, why we wrote Bulletproof Marriage. If you want a good marriage, you got to shake off apathetic attitudes. You got to shake off laziness. You got to work for it. That means you got to take a step towards forgiveness. Now, that doesn't justify staying in abusive situations, but you have to be willing to change your mindset about things. A lot of this can be changed if we adjust our attitudes. We see how we're thinking about things. We watch the thoughts that we think. We watch the thoughts we entertain. There's studies that say we have 60,000 thoughts a day. How many of yours are good? How many of them are positive?
Most of them are negative.
Most of them are negative, man. So how do we change it? What do we do? So people don't talk about it. Officers don't talk about it. They don't come out and talk about it because of a couple of reasons. They don't want to risk losing their job. And they don't want to risk being ostracized. They don't want to risk somebody saying, well, he's crazy as hell. We don't need him around.
Do you think it's getting better, Adam, in some instances? Because I know in my old agency, before I left, I mean, it was still somewhat taboo. But I think, especially with younger generations coming in, you know, I think that they're more apt to bring problems to the forefront. But do you think, you probably talk to a ton of people more than I do, but I mean, you're all around traveling, but do you think it's getting better in some agencies or some municipalities?
Well, I think as far as decisions and how it's being addressed from the top, and I mean the top within leadership and law enforcement, I think it's gotten better in a lot of places. Of course, other places still need work, but I think it's gotten better in some places. We still have to be willing. And I think there's been some positive motion in the direction of saying, hey, if you need me, you call me. You need me. I don't care when it is, time, day or night. You need me, you call me. And man, there's organizations like nobody's business out there right now that are doing a great job. One of them, I'll tell you about one of them, Reboot Recovery, faith-based trauma healing. They got groups all across the United States, probably one close to where you live. Get in that group, man. There's people, you are not alone in what you're dealing with. If you don't want to come out and talk about it to your department, man, that's on you. That's what's best for you, then do it. But there's groups across the country. There's numbers you can call 24 hours a day. Talked to a lady this morning from the Code 9 Project. Great folks.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing an awesome thing 24 hours a day. People who know what they're doing, you can call them and talk to them. I think there's more resources available today than there's ever been. I think the attitude towards it is shifting in the positive and the right direction. But what we have to do is be sure that we don't let up just because we see a little bit of progress.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got agencies and cities that are willing to declare their support for things that have no value and no benefit except for political issues. But they're not willing to step up to the plate to make sure the officers have what they need. And you know, I think that's the next battle, is continuing this drive. But really, one of the biggest things is that we do our part as former or active, you know, law enforcement to make sure that we have good people coming into law enforcement, because man, the way it looks right now, I mean, who would want to sign up and become a cop today? I'm proud that my brother-in-law just did in early 20s. He just started a few months back, man. Great, great human being, a great man, great officer. And thank God for men and women like him that are still willing to do the job. But we have to be willing to keep fighting for it no matter what. You know, we hold the line, whether we're still wearing that uniform or not, hold the line.
Well, that's what's even more important, like we talked about, you know, for administrators to do what they can. You know, if your troops are having problems and they come to you, you know, you need to take that shit seriously. Because aren't flocking to law enforcement anymore. I don't know if they ever were. I think there were periods when I first started where more and more people were interested, but certainly not now. Yeah. And remember, you are valued. You are valued. And I just believe in, brother, that God never gives us anything we can't handle. You can handle it. There are so many resources out there. I know it sucks. I've been through my share of issues. I know you have. But you know, as long as you're breathing, like you said, you got fight left in you. You never give up.
You got fight. Never quit. You know, that's the way I was trained. We were trained, you know, it just because you take a hit, just because you take a round doesn't mean you're out. Keep fighting. You saw the video the other day, the officer, female officer, had been amazing. I think she'd been shot in the jaw, still fighting. That is
partner hitting the head.
Are made. Yes, that's how we're made. That's how we're made. But we limit that to being stabbed or shot or hit in the face or whatever the case, a physical injury.
Yeah.
Damn it, if you've been hit in the emotions, in your mind, in your heart, and in your soul, you're not out. I don't care if you can see it or not. You're not out of the fight. Keep fighting. Keep swinging. Keep moving. Keep moving your feet. It don't matter.
Yeah.
One of the greatest lessons I've ever been taught. No matter how bad the storm you're going through, keep moving. Don't matter how slow you're moving, how small your steps, keep your feet moving because eventually you're going to come out of that storm.
Yeah. Amen. And I think some of the problem too, brothers, for those cops out there that are just watching the news all the time and watching all these idiots protesting,
turn it off.
Turn that crap off.
Turn it off.
Just
man.
Turn it off. Start reading Adam's book. Start reading other inspirational stuff to pump you up. I'm serious. Don't be watching the news all the time and crap. That's just toxic crap. They do that for a reason.
You talk to any mentor, any coach, most doctors, counselors, they'll tell you, turn off the news. Turn off the news. Go outside, spend time with your family. Go enjoy your friends, your hobby, whatever it is, man. Get out and up under, get out of that. Get away from that. Get out from under it. And, but yeah, I mean, I think that we're headed in the right direction. We just can't let up. I think as far as the within law enforcement, we're dealing with it. But, you know, one of the things I've seen is, Why does it take more suicides for us to bring awareness to it? Why do we always have to wait until the crap hits the fan before we want to sit down and have a talk? Or an officer who shows up intoxicated to find out that, well, you know, he dealt with a horrible situation several years back and we didn't talk about it. You know, we're still going to have some residual issues that we have to deal with because this has not really been an issue for a long time. We haven't been really making progress in the right direction. And so you've still got guys that haven't addressed everything from the past. So you have a guy that shows up, he's been stealing pills, he's been drinking on the job, whatever the case is. And you're like, or he snaps on the job, and, does something stupid or violates the law, hurts somebody. What happens? He's not a bad cop. He's wounded. He's hurt. What are we going to do to get him help? And stop society from demonizing law enforcement, and for that matter, stop society from dehumanizing law enforcement. They're human beings. They have real emotions, real dreams, real ambitions, and we see it as, I mean, look, you blame it on Hollywood, blame it on who you want. Any movie that glorifies a moment where you murder a cop is trash. I mean, it's complete trash. We got to get back to where we're decent as human beings again, where we value human life and honor cops, man. That's the core of our society. And trust me when I tell you, you don't want to live in a world where there are no cops. You cannot come up with a nightmare horrible enough for the things that are going to happen to people you love and care about if there are no cops around. And in 20 years, if we don't do something today, in 20 years, you'll either have no cops or the cops you have, you wish you didn't. And we got to make some changes now so that we are willing to stand up as Americans and say, these are our men and women, and you're not going to touch them. You're not going to mess with them. That's where we need them. We need all eyes and ears, all hands on deck, and let's move forward as one unit, as one team, as one country. And the people that want to destroy it, then we'll deal with their ass later.
Now, if people are listening right now that are struggling, and I guarantee you some are, and they're having problems in whatever facet of their life, personally and professionally, what advice would you give them right now, brother?
I think if you need help right now, first of all, know that there is help. You're not the only one going through it. You're not isolated. You may feel that way, but you're not. You're not the only one going through this. There's numerous resources available at your hand. If you're suicidal, if you want to take your life, if you've thought about taking your life, call somebody, talk to somebody. We're not going to judge. Call somebody and talk to them. I pass my number out around the clock. I've got people that I can connect you with anytime, day or night. And I think that you'll put in the show notes for this, you'll put the number to the suicide hotline, the number to the Code 9 Project. They have a 24-hour number, 844-HOPE-247. You can call, confidential number. Reach out to Reboot Recovery, rebootrecovery.org, I believe is the website. Go to my website. I've got resources linked out there. Reach out to somebody. Talk to a peer. Talk to somebody that you're working with, that you're close to. You have brothers. You have sisters. You have people nearby. Talk to your spouse if you're married. Talk to somebody. You can find somebody and just take one step in the right direction. You're not going to fix everything today. But let me tell you, you will outlast the problems. But taking a permanent action to address what is not going to last is hurting you and other people that love and care about you. And it's giving the enemy fuel. It's giving them power. It's giving them ammo. Don't let them see you bleed. Don't give them nothing. Keep fighting. And if you don't do it for anybody else, you listen to me. I'm with you. You get this, you reach out to me. I'll plug whatever I can for you. I'll help you out. I'll get you to people. I will help you. I know people who will help you. People love you and care about you. The world needs you. Your family needs you. Most of all, we need you. Keep the fight. Keep pressing the fight. Don't let up. Know that you're valued. Know that you're loved. And know that you have a unique purpose and you're created for a reason. And that you will overcome this. This is a test. You will pass this test. And if we got to walk through it hand in hand for a little bit, that's what we're here for. That's what the Thin Blue Line is. We're one.
Well said. Thank you so much for coming on the show, brother. Adam Davis, everything that we talked about is going to be linked up in the show notes, as well as how to find the great books of Adam Davis. Thank you so much again, brother, for coming on. God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.